The more they tasted it,
the more their thirst grew for it.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahavadanyaya. Mahavadanyaya avatar, because although he is Sri Krishna himself, he is even more favourably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised that he would then give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Sri Rupa Goswami, therefore, could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself, for no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Om Gantam Irandasya Garan Jena Shataya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Ve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Vadati Svavadantikam Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Panatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Bando Jagatte Upika Kanta Ada Kanta Namaste Kanchana Gorangi Vrindavanishwari Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Turubhyas Cha Acha Patitanam Malani Vyo Asmare Vyo Namo Namaha Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Viradha Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
So this is the same verse that Radhanath Maharaj spoke on yesterday. I didn't pick a verse because I didn't expect to speak about Jagannath Mishra. But anyway, this is related because it's talking about the nature of a devotee. The nature of a devotee when he's in a purified state is the same as the nature of Krishna. So what's Krishna's nature, as it's explained in this particular verse, is that Vadanyaya, Mahavadanyaya avatar. So this means very, very munificent, very merciful. The most munificent incarnation of God, it's explained. So also, Jagannath Mishra, he said he was full of all good qualities, no bad qualities at all. And therefore, when the Supreme Lord chooses to appear in this world, he always brings his entourage with him. And this is out of great affection that the Supreme Lord appears with his devotees, great affection for the conditioned souls, and it's also the great affection of his dear devotees in the spiritual world that they appear with the Supreme Lord. There's many pastimes we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and other literatures. And they all seem to be not of this world, which of course they're not. But they're very much related to this world. This is why the Supreme Lord appears. Whenever there's a decline in religious practice, and irreligion becomes prominent, then Krishna sees it as his obligation to release the conditioned souls from their difficult condition. And so his devotees are also appearing with the Supreme Lord for that same purpose, to help to release the conditioned souls. It doesn't appear that they are actually doing that in the pastimes, but that is the mood. He said that when in the early stages of devotional service, it's called Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So this is more or less very shackled by rules and regulation. There's not much spontaneity. And as a devotee practices devotional service according to these rules and regulations, then Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion, this service becomes more spontaneous. And as it becomes more spontaneous, eventually it comes to the point of complete spontaneity. So this is the state of Lord Chaitanya's associates. They're completely spontaneous. And so they're serving Krishna in that particular mood. So in the spiritual world, actually, Jagannath Mishra is none other than Nanda Maharaj in Krishna Leela. And we're aspiring to be like Jagannath Mishra and Nanda Maharaj. It depends on our mood, like the gopis or so many other personalities. There's different rasas, and everyone is has a particular affinity for serving Krishna in one of these rasas. But it's explained by Prabhupada that we cannot become like Jagannath Mishra. We cannot become Nanda Maharaj. That post is already taken. But we follow in the mood of these devotees. This is the point. We help serve in that same mood. So Jagannath Mishra's mood is one of caring for Krishna. He's always concerned that Krishna is being, or Lord Chaitanya in this case, is well looked after. There is not going to find himself in any difficulty. But at the same time, he's aware of the struggling of the conditioned souls. So I thought I'd talk about a little bit about that. About first Lord Chaitanya's move, Mahavadanyaya, that he performs many pastimes to show three things. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that our relationship with Krishna is based on humility. When we approach the supreme cause of all causes, especially in the beginning, it's definitely humility. It's humility out of fear, Aishvarya. But then as that matures, it becomes another kind of humility. It becomes humility that we want to just see that Krishna is in our Lord Chaitanya. We do anything. Our own particular self-esteem doesn't mean anything, just for the service of Krishna. So this is real surrender. So Lord Chaitanya has many pastimes showing we were talking about humility. And then the living entity has another quality in which he relates to other living entities. Does anybody know what that one is? It's called daya, or compassion. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, when these two things are there, these are actually the heart of devotional service, of bhakti. He says there's one other quality that automatically arises as a result of these two. And this is tolerance. Another word for tolerance is forgiveness. When we have humility, and when we have mercy, we give mercy, it means we have to be very, very tolerant. Anybody who's tried to preach Krishna consciousness can understand this point. And also, we have to have compassion in order to maintain that type of service. So this means that in the spiritual world, the living entity has left Krishna's association. What's the worst thing that can happen to us with a friend? What's the worst thing that a friend could do to us? You know, friends sometimes, even Arjuna says, sometimes we lay on the same bed talking, joking. Sometimes I would criticize you. So a friend can actually tolerate these things. in the spiritual world. Sometimes we may be scolded by a friend. Is that right? A friend may give us a good telling off. Why did you do that? When we're close, we can do that. Well, what's the worst thing he could do? That friend. Come on, you have to work a little bit as well. Makes it easier for me then. Is what? That's a good point. I didn't think about that one. He says when the friend is committing a mistake and we don't let him know, it's not a real friend. But I was thinking about that relationship between the two, is if he completely ignores you. If we do something so dastardly that he doesn't just completely ignore us. There's nothing worse. In other words, you say, well, the person blanks us. We don't even exist. So I say this is the situation with the living entities in the material world. We've completely blanked the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we carry on blanking the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What would we do if somebody did that to us? How do we feel? We're very reluctant to have any relationship with that person again. It would be enough to say, that's enough for this lifetime. Well, this is the mercy of Krishna Mahavadanyaya. He still, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, especially the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, is described as even more merciful than Krishna. He comes to this world with his devotees like Jagannath Mishra to still try and approach people who don't want to know. So what do we have to do when somebody's hurt us? And this is the forgiveness, isn't it? We're talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness has to be there on the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so we see this in the pastime of Jagai and Madai. Jagai and Madai, they did everything. You name it and they did it. They wrote... or as they say, they wrote the book. And so everybody was completely, in fear of these two living entities. They were even in fear of one another. He said if one wasn't careful about keeping his eye on the other one used to thump him. So this is the nature of demoniac life. We don't know who to trust. And so Lord Chaitanya, he asked, not specifically to approach these two people, but he asked Adidas Thakur and Lord Nityananda to go out and preach Krishna consciousness, to sing about Krishna, follow Krishna, bhajiye Krishna, to worship Krishna, and to tell people to make Krishna their lives. And so these two devotees, they took this to heart and they were going door to door, paying dandavats, asking the living entities to change. And eventually they came across a huge crowd of people. Big commotion. And so when we see a big commotion, we want to, what's going on over there? We're very inquisitive. And so Adidas Thakur and Lord Nityananda, they went and they were asking people, what's happening? And then they looked through the cloud and they saw these two drunkards staggering about, throwing abuse everywhere. Everybody was keeping well clear. And then Lord Nityananda had a thought that these two people, he wanted to deliver the most fallen of living entities. And so people said, no, don't go. It's more than your life's worth. But Lord Nityananda is avaduta. He doesn't care about the normal run of things. And so he approached these two brothers. And of course, as soon as he started speaking, telling them to reform, they immediately started to chase Adidas Thakur and Lord Nityananda for a long way. Said they were two fat, jolly persons, Madai and Jagai. But still, they were able to keep their pace somehow or other. But eventually they came to Jagannath Mishra's house and they hid there. And of course, Jagai and Madai were running this way, that way, they'd lost the track. And so for that day they were saved. But Lord Nityananda wasn't satisfied. And one day, Jagai and Madai, they were going on, they were creating a disturbance on the Ganges. Nobody would go and bathe there. Anybody who wanted to bathe, they'd go in a crowd of 100 or more. And so eventually, by the arrangement of Providence, without even looking for these two fellows, Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they came across Jagaya Madai, and they immediately recognized them. Jagaya Madai recognized Lord Nityananda. And again, the same thing. And Lord Nityananda was trying to reform them, and Madai became so angry that he picked up one piece of broken pot and he threw it at Lord Nityananda and broke his head. All blood was coming down on his body. And so some of Lord Chaitanya's associates saw this and they ran to tell Lord Chaitanya. And so Lord Chaitanya was immediately on the spot. He came very quickly. And he immediately took out his Sudarshan Chakra. But at that point, Jagai realized that when Lord Nityananda was hit by this missile, that he didn't show any hatred towards Jagaya Madai. In fact, completely the opposite. He immediately forgave them. And he couldn't understand. He says, this is not a normal person. And this is what happens when we meet a devotee. A devotee is not an ordinary person, as Maharaj was saying yesterday. When we meet a devotee, then it can change the heart. Just hearing about the qualities of a devotee, it changes the heart. These are not ordinary, these are transcendental qualities. So this transcendental quality of Lord Nityananda immediately started to affect Jagai. And so he said to Madai, no, don't throw again. And so, but Madai hadn't appreciated that. And so then, at that point, Lord Chaitanya came. And so Lord Chaitanya was going to punish them both. And Lord Nityananda said, no, don't. He says, Jagai, he stopped Madai from throwing another. He was going to throw again. And that immediately changed Lord Chaitanya's mood. So, oh, you've saved my devotee. You are compassionate to my devotee. For that, I will give you pure love of Godhead. And immediately, Jagai was infused with blissful feelings, transcendental prema. And when Madai saw that, he said, if you are merciful, you are Mahavadanya, you are merciful to everyone. So if you're giving it to Jagai, give it to me. He says, no, I won't give it to you. You've insulted or you've hurt my Nitai. And so, is there any way I can be relieved from this sin? Madai said. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, if you go and beg for mercy from Lord Nityananda, then I will consider. Actually, before this, when Lord Nityananda reported to Lord Chaitanya that these two persons were on the prowl and that, you know, they tried to save them, I said, and Lord Chaitanya said, because you've already tried to save them, they're already saved. So this is the nature of a devotee. That when a devotee forgives and tries to give mercy, then Krishna naturally follows. This is spoken about in the Madhurika Dambini. That mercy is coming through the devotee. Why? Because the devotee's got prema. Our devotee's got some bhakti in the heart. And that bhakti is impelling him to try and give bhakti to others. So bhakti is the cause of bhakti, it says. But it's the overall, it's sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of the qualities of bhakti in the heart of the devotee, then Krishna, or Lord Chaitanya, is attracted by those qualities. And it melts the Lord's heart. So the Lord was melted by the endeavor of Lord Nityananda to save these two fellows. And he said, they're already saved. So this was play acting. But Madai didn't think so. He immediately went to Lord Nityananda and begged for forgiveness from his lotus feet. And immediately Lord Nityananda assented. And so he also was imbued with prema. So what do we learn from this pastime? We learn that there's nothing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will not forgive. He'll forgive everything. It's just a matter of surrendering to his pure devotee. So we'll talk about this a little bit later. So how much is it, how much is the devotee, how much is important is it the devotee develops this mentality of forgiveness? So that's for everybody. This is a pastime of, I think, Gopal Chapala. He was envious. He wasn't allowed in the dance, in the nocturnal kirtans at Srinivasa's house. And so he became upset about that. And the opposite of forgiveness is what? Anger. Resentment. Resentment, that's the thing, isn't it? We resent that we can't get what we want. So we're resentful. And this is the beginning of all inauspiciousness. And so he started putting paraphernalia outside Sri Vastakor's house so that it was Durga paraphernalia. And, remnants of unmentionable things. And then he was telling everybody, just see, this is what's been going off in this house at night. They're worshippers of Durga. And Sri Vas is the ringleader. And Sri Vas came out and he admitted it, even though he wasn't. And that obviously, when somebody does that, it made Gopal Chapala even worse. But eventually, because of that insult, because of that, aparad, eventually Gopal Chapala developed leprosy. And when leprosy is a very terrible disease. All the skin starts to be eaten away, and then the flesh, and then the limbs. Very painful. And so at some point, he was in so much pain that when Lord Chaitanya came by, he just wanted relief. And so he begged the Lord to give him relief, and he was sorry for committing the sin. But Lord Chaitanya said, you have offended Srivas, so you'll stay in that position for a long time. And he carried on his way. So this doesn't seem very forgiving. And then later, he was just suffering and suffering so much again. And then the Lord Chaitanya came by again. But this time, something had changed. He wasn't just asking for his own benefit. When one suffers, eventually one starts to go deeper into his own heart. Why am I suffering? Because I've offended Srivas. And he became so repentant. And he was so sorry that he'd offended Lord Chaitanya's pure devotee, that when he asked this time, Lord Chaitanya relieved him from that situation. So what do we learn from this one? What was that? The Lord forgives, but he didn't forgive the first time. Yeah, it's not a matter of external activities. Sometimes we'll forgive somebody, we don't really forgive them, do we? It's like Shastra says I should forgive him, so I'll superficially forgive him. I don't really forgive him. So this was a case, he didn't really repent his situation, Gopal Chapala. He just wanted to save his own skin. So sometimes we do that in the beginning of devotional services. We're not sorry, but, I've committed an aparad. I better actually externally say I'm sorry. So it has to go deeper than that. And later on, so this is why we suffer, isn't it? Resentment in the heart. Why aren't we always in prema, in bliss? Because of this resentment. As soon as that's finished, then we can experience devotional service. We can experience prema. Experience a bhava of reciprocation with the Lord. Any more pastimes we can relate to? So that's two things. One is that we have to be serious. We have to be forgiven for their wrong. This is total forgiveness. There's different levels of forgiveness. We just talk about two there. One is external. We've not really, when we see that person, we can just about look at them. we haven't really forgiven. Okay. You know. And then there's another type of forgiveness. It goes a little bit deeper. We're on talking, just about on talking terms. Or it's like we've got to do devotional service together. So, you know, for the sake of, this is also good to be able to do that, but we still, this happens a lot in ISKCON. That we, you know, we're, things are going on, but relationships are still, you know, they're a little bit, they're not quite what they should be. But that's okay, we're tolerating in order to please the Lord. But in order to, you know, really get the benefit, then we have to really forgive that person. Then all difficulties relieved. So what's the next pastime I was going to speak about? Maybe we can learn. So the first one is the Lord is forgiving to everybody, but the mood has to be that we're actually sorry, we're repentant. So this is why I'm talking about forgiveness, is that until a devotee can actually become forgiving, it's difficult to get the Lord's mercy. Kala Krishna Das. The Lord didn't want anybody to accompany him on his tours South India. But the devotees insisted that he have somebody to carry his danda, carry his water pot, then he could chant his rounds nicely. And so he took Kala Krishna Das. And of course, Kala Krishna Das, as we all know, he became attracted by the women of the Bataharis. Now, I don't know much about the Bataharis, but they're not a very elevated crowd. And so the Bataharis sent the women folk to attract him. Obviously they wanted to rob and steal and do so many things. And Kala Krishna Das, he wasn't probably so advanced. Obviously he's an associate of Lord Chaitanya. And so he's very advanced. But for the sake of this pastime, he was actually overcome by Maya. And he was attracted to the Bataharis, the women. And he was getting absorbed. And so Lord Chaitanya, he immediately took him by the hair and he pulled him. And he took him back to his associates. He says, this is Kala Krishna Das, rascal. He said, I don't want him to stay with me. He'll stay with you, but he's too much trouble. So what do we learn from this one? He couldn't control his... Talking about Kali Krishna Das. He couldn't control his... Go on then. He couldn't control his senses and his mind. And so the Lord, he says that this is not so bad. If you know, if we commit an offence against a devotee, that's not very good at all. That's really bad. But if we become a little bit deviated from devotional service, from not having, you know, being able to control our senses, so it's not so bad. We still get the Lord's mercy. In other words, he got the Lord's mercy. He was saved from that situation. But one thing he couldn't have close association with the Lord. So one has to be careful to control the senses nicely, and then we can get Krishna's mercy. If we're not controlling the senses, we're letting the senses go here, there, and everywhere. When we're still practicing devotional service, but we have a little bit of this and a little bit of that, we're not really endeavouring, then Krishna will remain some distance from us. So the senses, we make a big endeavour to control the senses. And then Krishna's really forgiving upon us. Our Lord Chaitanya. See if there's another pastime. Mukunda, he was a close associate of the Lord, and but he had a bad habit. He always used to like to listen to other philosophies, and when Lord Chaitanya found out, he was really annoyed. and he wouldn't let Mukunda into his association. But once again, Mukunda actually changed at heart. He was actually sorry for the way he'd been acting. And another quality is that when he heard that, "I will not see Mukunda for many, many births," he took it the other way. He took everything positively. "I will not see" means he will see at some point. And so he's jumping, "I shall see, I shall see." And so Lord Chaitanya understood the heart of Mukunda, and immediately he forgave him. So this is a devotional service means positive. We have many, in the material world, there are many things which make us negative. Is that right? Every day there's actually an excuse for being negative. But Mukunda is showing the example of positive, being positive in our devotional service. And then we get the Lord's mercy. We can talk about that a little later, positive and negative. And lastly, well, there's many more pastimes. There's a pastime of Junior Haridas. So he's also a great associate of the Lord. He got Lord Chaitanya's mercy, actually. He was liberated and he went back to Godhead. But for the purpose of this pastime and to teach us all, he acted out of character with his particular ashram. So he says, "The Lord is very pleased when they follow our duties in our particular ashram, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha or Sannyas. And by following those duties properly, we can be elevated to the transcendental platform." But Junior Haridas, was he Sannyas? He went on an errand to get some rice for the Lord. And he got it from this woman. And I don't think it was a young woman. It was an old woman. And somehow or other, by Krishna's arrangement, there was a little bit of thought. He looked twice at this woman. And then he took the rice and went back. When the rice was cooked and Lord Chaitanya tasted it, immediately he could taste there's some impurity here. And he said, "Who bought this rice?" He said, "It was Junior Haridas." He said, "Tell him not to show his face round here anymore." And the devotees were completely dumbstruck. "Why? I don't want somebody in a sannyas ashram having anything to do with going anywhere near the opposite sex." So this is our strict Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya always takes exemplary standards, and this is what he did with Junior Haridas. Junior Haridas started fasting, and the devotees came to the Lord. "He's fasting for many days now. I suffered enough. Please forgive him." "No." And eventually he committed suicide. But actually, he used to come to Lord Chaitanya in the night, and in his liberated body he was chanting, he was singing beautiful songs. But externally, he didn't forgive him. So why? Because the Lord doesn't like somebody who cheats. A devotee, one of the qualities of a devotee is very straightforward. Prabhupada says that, doesn't he? No duplicitousness. If we're duplicitous in the association of devotees, everything will get completely stagnated. Nobody will trust one another. Prabhupada said to one of his disciples, "You are Hiranyakashipu, and you want your son to be Hiranyakashipu." Hiranyakashipu was a great politician. They're known for their duplicity. So Prabhupada, he says, we should be so straightforward that we can tell, everybody knows something about us, everything about us, not just something. Everybody else knows everything about us, and we know everything else about everybody else. That's a perfect situation. What does that mean? It means that we're on the liberated platform. We're seen on the platform of the soul. What difference does it make if all this dirt is actually been there before? I've done so many things. Let everybody know. This is the material body. Actually, this is called duplicitousness. It's called kutinata. Is that right? Kutinata. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains this. It's still Jagannath Mishra's celebration day, by the way. We're not getting off the point. So Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he mentions five regulative principles. That's right, isn't it? Five regulative principles. Prabhupada writes them. He writes them in a paraphrase, but he talks about meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and what's the last one? So, and then he mentions another one. He said, cutting out in duplicitousness. In this particular, you look in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, and then he starts specifically talking about duplicitousness. He says, one cannot make any progress in life if one's duplicitous. He says, one can even satisfy himself materially. So in order to have a forgiving society, we have to give up this duplicitousness. We have to be straightforward. So otherwise, as Lord Chaitanya shows in this pastime, there's no chance of forgiveness by the Lord. So what about, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He forgives. But here we're hearing that there's a reason for his forgiveness. He won't give it unless there's a certain standard. But it says in the Bhagavad Gita that the devotee is more kind than the Lord. He knows the purpose of the Lord. The Lord doesn't want him to get entangled in mixing with materialists. So, but the devotee does that. He's even more forgiving. And so Srila Prabhupada, he shows this forgiving nature. I was talking to one Prabhupada disciple, and this particular pastime just shows how forgiving Prabhupada was. There was one, maybe I shouldn't mention the name, but there was one disciple of Prabhupada, and he started to go to the London temple. He'd been away from devotional service for some time. He'd committed an aparad against the spiritual master. And even though he was coming back to associate with the devotees, his character wasn't very good. And so so Prabhupada got to know about that this particular devotee was coming to the temple. And so one of the devotees warned Prabhupada. He said, "Yeah, but he's not in good standing, Prabhupada. He's still critical and so many things." And so Prabhupada said, "No, I want to see him." But Prabhupada said, it won't make any difference. He's not prepared to change. And Prabhupada said, "Tell him he can come and cook for me." Because this person used to cook for Prabhupada. Even though he wasn't following the relative principles, he was doing exactly the opposite. Prabhupada was prepared to accept the cooking of that person. Why? Because the devotee is very, very merciful. He thought, just a little bit of service, a little bit of, what do you talk about? Daya, a little bit of compassion, will change his heart. Maybe I have to undergo some reaction. When Prabhupada was initiating in the early days in America, at one particular point, the devotees weren't very advanced, had been coming for a few weeks. And they just started to take it a little bit serious. They were chanting, they were reading, and Prabhupada would initiate them. But at one particular initiation ceremony, Prabhupada saw that there were some new people came. They were young hippies, and they asked Prabhupada he said, "Will you initiate us?" And the temple president said, "Prabhupada, these devotees are not qualified. They've only been to the temple once before. You shouldn't initiate them." And Prabhupada said, "Oh." And he looked at them and he thought for a while. He said, So you want initiation. Oh, he's Krishna. And they thought for a while. They said, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they said, who are you? And they thought for a little while. He said, we are Krishna's servant. He said, I'll initiate you. So Prabhupada was, so the devotees, externally at least, more kind than the Lord. Anyway, we can come on to the devotees now. This is where I was. The general devotees. We're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about how the Lord is forgiving. How the Lord's devotees like Jagannath Mishra understand the purpose of the Lord. They appear in this world and do so many pastimes. And the purpose is to give mercy to the conditioned souls. And that requires a great deal of forgiveness. So we talked about there were three angers of forgiveness. There's the first, there's humility, and then there's doya, there's compassion, and the mixture of these two things, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is forgiveness. So does anybody find any difficulty in forgiving? I mean, our philosophy, I mean, we've only got to read the philosophy and everything's taken care of in a few words. Why are we talking about this? He says the quality of a Vaishnava is he's very forgiving. He doesn't take any faults. You know, even if we feel that hurt by a particular situation, immediately we can forgive by remembering the philosophy. That this person is just a vehicle for my karma. It's not his fault. I'm due to this, but do we remember that? It's very difficult in some situations to remember that, you know, this is just my karma. I should forgive. I should just get on with devotional service, not react, not become more entangled. Just like the postman, he comes, he delivers a letter, and we open the letter, and it's a red letter, big bill. So we're very angry. I shouldn't be paying this. This is too much. And so we look at the postman and start chasing him. No. This is the situation, though. And we're in this material world and somebody reciprocates with it in a wrong way and it affects the heart and we feel some resentment for that. We're just acting like on the same platform. It's ridiculous. But because we can't remember it, because we can't, you know, maybe some devotees are on that platform, but I know, you know, I get caught out many, many times, you know, trying to blame the person for the way they've treated me. And this is a very dangerous situation. Prabhupada explained how if we let resentment enter the heart, it can make a devotee very hard-hearted. And it changes the devotee's devotional outlook on life. Become fault-finding. So many bad qualities develop. So this is why devotees are so forgiving. Don't harbour anything in the heart. Because forgiveness is not about you and the other person, is it? No, it's much, much deeper than that. Forgiveness is about you and Krishna. We shouldn't think that I have to forgive this person. We should be thinking... Do I want to develop my relationship with Krishna? Or do I want to stay in material consciousness? So a devotee is always thinking on those lines. That it's not that... We may think that if I forgive this person, he's done wrong. He's actually done wrong. What will happen if I forgive him? He'll do it again. He won't learn. Anybody ever think like that? That I can't forgive, otherwise I'm saying that what he's doing is right. No, we can forgive, but we can still actually make sure the person understands what they've done is wrong. You know, if somebody may commit a really abominable act, we can still internally forgive that person, but yet he can still be punished for that. You can be part of the punishment mechanism, but you forgive them. forgiveness means it's not about clearing our own hearts of resentment. That's a real purpose. And then when the heart's clean from resentment, then we can feel the nature of devotional service. And this is what we want to taste. We want to taste this higher taste so that we get to the higher platform of devotional service where it's more spontaneous. We get in a taste from serving Krishna instead of seeing the fault in others and doing it out of just rules and regulations. So, I'll just go for a little longer and then I'll let Maharaj take over. Usually, this type of class is an interactive class, but there's a big audience here, it might be a little difficult. You know, because there was one padre, I think it was at Westminster in England, and every year he's invited on the radio, and this radio show runs for at least 5 days a week all throughout the year. So what's that? 200? Anyway, it's a lot. And he says, when you come on my show, the radio, the person who was the host, he said, you're always in the top three. It's the most popular show. And so this is not amongst devotees, this is amongst the general public. So it's a very, very important topic. So, I mean, we have the story of Haridas Thakur. He was flogged in 22 marketplaces. And he was praying for the people who were flogging him. They were trying to kill him. And eventually they realized that he's not going to die. He's still chanting. He's still praying for us. And so they had a word with Haridas Thakur. He said, if you don't die, we are going to die. And so Haridas Thakur apologized to them. And immediately he left his body and they threw it in the Ganges. So this is a very instructive story. It may even inspire us for some time. But after we hear it, do we actually feel any more like forgiving? So it's important to understand the mechanics. This is what this particular seminar I was listening to is all about. It's all about the details of forgiveness. How we can see, when we're in material consciousness, the need to forgive. If we're in transcendental consciousness, then there's no problem. But sometimes we need the stepping stone. So I was going to talk about those for a while, but I think so Bhakti Tirtha, one last story. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we were talking about the opposite of forgiveness is resentment. If we don't forgive, we keep resentment in the heart. And then that's very bad for our devotional service. So when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, before he actually joined the movement, he was visiting one temple in America. And I don't know whether he just joined or he was about to join, but he noticed that there was some racism in the temple. And this didn't actually identify with the philosophy. And so he was disturbed about this. And of course, him being a black body, he would see it straight away because they're very used to recognizing racism. They've dealt with it all their lives. And so when Prabhupada, he eventually visited that temple after a short while, and he approached Prabhupada and asked him, he said, Srila Prabhupada, he says, there's racism in the temple. And Prabhupada actually said, yeah, I know there's racism. Yes, I know. He says, but what's the difference between them and you if you actually carry on thinking like that? If Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj carries on thinking there's racism here, then he starts to resent it. So a devotee has to be above this material platform. We have to be on the platform of seeing transcendentally. There's one pastime. Sometimes we say we can't forgive. Has anybody got that feeling that there's just some things that cannot be forgiven? No, be honest. I mean, I know what the philosophy is, but do we feel like that? Yeah, everybody feels like that. And so, but we are devotees, we're supposed to know better. Well, there are even examples from people who are seemingly in the material world, what they call karmis. There was one young girl, it was in the 60s. In the 60s was a time when racism changed, it was abolished. There was equality, a law passed where the coloured people, they could go to the white schools and vice versa. And when this happened, especially in the south of the United States, where racism was very strong, in New Orleans there was one school where all the white parents, they stopped the children from going to school on the day that they were allowed to mix. And the authorities knew there was going to be a riot unless they actually stepped in, so the police came and they had to escort this six-year-old black girl to school. And the people, when they escorted this girl to school, she was only 6 years old. People were throwing abuse, so big disturbance. They were saying so many things, just like animals. And as she was walking to school, the police and the authorities noticed that she was mumbling something under her lips, under her breath. And when they got to school, she said, "What were you saying? You were speaking something." She says, "So I was praying to God to forgive them." 6 years old. And she said, why were you doing that? They were treating you so badly. She says, "Don't you think they need forgiveness?" So when we hear stories like that, devotees should definitely be able to forgive. There's many stories, unbelievable stories. So, you know, it's good to listen to this topic to get this, you know, feeling, this bad feeling out of the heart, this resentment. It's also the cause of so many diseases. So many stories about people who've got rid of resentment. And actually, there's one, I think it's a clinic. One person is, when somebody has cancer, terminal cancer, you know, the doctors would send them to this clinic, and he had a 50% success rate with terminal cancer. And he said, "What do you do?" Yeah, he says, "The first thing I say to anybody who comes here, have you forgiven?" And then they work from there. So we don't want this bad quality to remain in the heart. We want to get it out, and then we can actually function in devotional service. And so then we can be on the platform of Jagannath Mishra. Completely no resentment. Just everything for the service of the Lord. Maharaj was speaking yesterday about, you know, even to such an extent where they lose 8 girls before Lord Chaitanya and his brother appear. So that's a pretty difficult situation. Imagine yourself in that situation for the service of the Lord. Would we be able to tolerate? Sri Jagannath Mishra ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi. Thank you.